How many of you actually use computer-aided learning in your current learning? Just give me a show of hands. Do you use computers to help you learn? Do you use language programs and this sort of thing? Or have you used them in the past? Yeah? 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 Well, so at least half of you then have used computers to help you learn. Have any of you ever done any what we call e-learning? That is to say you're learning at a distance over a computer. Yeah, I can see somebody nodding at the back there. Right, well, that's interesting, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more of that over the few who've used it as well. Good. So I think that's going to become ever more popular. So another aspect, perhaps this will be the final one for now, but is the challenge to traditional universities. Lots of big private companies now, like, for example, Microsoft, one that we've all heard of, or Oracle or Sun Microsystems, they have their own corporate universities now. So if you want to be a Microsoft employee, you don't have to come to the University of Reading to learn about computers. You can go to the Microsoft University. You can go to a Sun Microsystems University, right? And I know that this is a phenomenon that's happening across the world, that we're getting the emergence of corporate universities, that are universities that are owned and controlled entirely by business. And that's aside from the fact that most of modern universities here in the West are increasingly funded by corporations. And there's all kinds of arguments about whether that affects the impartiality of scientific research and whether it prejudices the pursuit of truth, whatever that might be. What it does mean, however, is that a university degree no longer means quite the same thing as it did, say, 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago, because now you can have a degree from a whole range of different providers, some of which are traditional and conventional, like Oxford, Cambridge, Reading, or some of which are very modern, former polytechnics or business-led universities, okay? So that's quite an interesting change. So we're going to look at some of the some of these developments in a bit more detail and see whether the universities that are beginning to emerge now are better or worse than the traditional universities that that have prevailed thus far. And I want you to think about whether these changes are good or bad, right? That's what your task is during the course of this lecture this morning. Are these changes that I'm talking about good or bad? I mean, my view, I think, is that they are inevitable. That is, they're going to happen anyway. But I want you to think, are these changes good or bad? So I did say that we'd start by having a brief tour around the history of universities, just so that you've got some idea where they've come from. Don't want to spend too long on this. But I think universities are at least 3,000 years old now. I think the first universities, ironically enough, developed in modern-day Iraq, in the civilization of Mesopotamia. And the first university was founded by the Emperor Assurbanipal in about 640 before the Common Era. And just outside what is known as Nineveh, right? So that's where the first recognizable university was. We have a kind of mural of the Royal Library there, and somebody giving a talk, pretty much like I'm talking to you now, and a lot of students sitting around in their robes and their fancy hats reading books, okay, in the Royal Library. And that's a really fascinating image, actually, because it tells us lots of things about universities that are still true today. Firstly, if you wanted some knowledge, some expert knowledge, you had to go and get it. Like, you've come to Reading. People would travel from all around the Middle East to go to Nineveh, to the Royal Library, okay? Secondly, it wasn't just anybody who could go into that library. There had to be special people, like your special people. You know, you've already got some qualifications that have allowed you to come to this university, haven't you? It's not open to just anybody. Not anybody could just walk into this room and hear me talk about this. But, you know, so it's it belongs to a special privileged elite, the upper ranks of society, and that's who you are. You can always get anywhere by flattering your audience, I've heard. And the development of universities after this, that is to say, the ones that developed in ancient Greece and Rome, that those are the models that have most influenced the development of Western universities, had exactly the same kind of control. So they were controlled by the kings, or indeed, in the case of Europe during the Middle Ages, when Oxford and Cambridge were established, for example, they were established by kings but controlled by the church. Either way, they were controlled, and access to them was controlled, and only a privileged minority would be able to go into those universities and get that superior knowledge, knowledge which gave them a privileged position in relation to the rest of their society. Okay?